There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left. Side stories.
Live from your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes. Yeah, man, the turkey is dead. We fucking got her.
Okay.
We got her. Man.
Good work.
That was so fucking sweet, dude.
Are you bragging about going to a store and buying a turkey?
I didn't. Eddie made us go get fancy turkeys. We went down to this place. We got fancy turkeys, whatever, brought them back to the house. I got to spatchcock a turkey for the first time. That is the single most metal thing I've done at 9:45 a.m. Just fucking cutting the spine out of a prone bird. Because the one thing that is true is, like, once you got that turkey in your hands, you're a little chubby little fucker, right? Like, you see this chubby little thing. You could feel it dancing in a field. You could feel how happy it was before it died. Like, you could feel it in its muscles and how much fun it was having. And then it got fucking shot in the back of the head, like it's going to happen to all of us by life.
I don't think that's how they do it. I think they slice the neck and hang it upside down. But yeah, they don't JFK it.
Life is going to come at all of us so fast and so hard. The end of it, the screeching halt end of it, once you slam into the brick wall, it's the end of the fucking tunnel for all of us. And that's what that turkey experienced. And then I cut its spine out of it.
Right. Do you think the turkey appreciates you talking about it like that? Should we be thanking the turkey? Because, of course, we ate the turkey for Thanksgiving.
I don't know what the turkey did in its fucking life.
He's just a gobble gobble. He's a turkey.
Yeah, who knows? But who knows what it did within its own turkey community and how it ended up on my cutting board.
Well, that's true. Right? I hope the aliens say nicer things when they abduct you. Pluck all the hairs off of you, spread you like you're being quartered in the town square for being a bad, bad senator.
Fucking
and
cut.
Hopefully they're
come
slightly
and
nicer
get me.
To you.
Come and get me in foot. Let's see what happens, because I honestly think that they'll find me very funny. And I'll be one of those ones that they keep around for a little bit and then release, because then they get sick of the bits, much like my family.
All right.
But what is fun, though, slicing through bones?
Is that fun?
You can kind of see why some of these guys get into it, because it's actually pretty satisfying when you feel the crunch slicing through. Because I had the big knife stabbing that into its fucking side and stuff.
Right.
It's fun. It activates a lot and really helps you appreciate how vulnerable we all are.
Sure. Well, I'm happy that you got around to something mildly positive. Welcome to Side Stories, everyone. I am Ben, hanging out with turkey killer Henry Zebrowski.
Of course, I'm
complicit. I did consume some of said turkey, so my hands are certainly not clean on this situation. There's gravy on all of our hands.
But wasn't it good?
It was really good.
And let's start then, Kissel. Can we start then today with what we did this last year? I was reminded of this.
What
are you thankful for this Thanksgiving season?
Well, I'm thankful that everyone, hopefully listening, had a good Thanksgiving. And I think that that is just wonderful.
That's something you can't be thankful for, because you don't know if they had a good Thanksgiving. Because you don't know
what
people are going through.
I'm thankful for my dogs. I'm thankful for the Packers. They just won yesterday.
The multi-billion dollar football franchise.
Yes, indeed. I'm thankful for them. And I'm thankful for all you listeners out there. So thank you so much. And Henry,
that's very good.
I assume you're thankful for me. So we don't even have to go down that road, because we already know. But you know what else I'm thankful for?
What?
Christmas is right around the corner.
I hate you. I hate this. I don't want it to be. I made a taxi driver shut off Christmas music, because it's not legal until Black Friday.
I did hear last Christmas on my drive up in here to the fine studio here. And that song is horrible, and it makes me very sad, because it seems like every Christmas she ends up getting an abortion. I have no idea what that song's about, but apparently she gave. I don't know what's happening. But anyway, toys. That's what's so fun about Christmas, is that children
that's the only
say,
thing
Daddy,
that matters.
Daddy, you're never
give
home.
Me, give me.
You're never home.
You're always working. But Mommy won't let you have a good time, because Mommy says when you have a good time, you come home and you move all the furniture around.
Slightly enamored and hammered with designing furniture after 2 o'clock in the morning is never a good thing in Queens. But Daddy, to buy the love of the child, will of course purchase toys. However, not all toys are made the same. Walmart, as a matter of fact, they had to pull a children's toy recently because evidently it swears and sings in Polish. And then what does it sing about? Ooh, sweet, sweet, not snow, cocaine.
Super, super fucking dope ass snow time. Like, honestly, this is the kind of Christmas I want. I want a Coke Christmas, but with fentanyl strips. I think that's important to put in stockings if you're going to have a cocaine Christmas.
Absolutely. Be very safe. Also, just, you know, do a little Adderall. Cocaine, or I mean, heck, I'm sipping my Rockstar energy drink right now.
He loves it.
I feel like I've just done 50 lines of the world's most average cocaine, and I'm not going to get the hangover. So isn't that nice?
Or have an espresso, because it really does help. What I love about this is that it was discovered by an Ontario grandmother.
Ontario grandmother.
She bought this, and she apparently just also happened to speak Polish. And this woman went on the Toronto News, and they're all like, can you even believe that there's such a thing as a swear word? Because it's Canada. And this woman...
They know about swear words in Canada. What are we going to do with all these dead bodies?
And she is from the carnival world of Ontario, right? So she's so used to experiencing so much flavor and salsa. But she heard this creature, sorry, this cactus dancing thing.
It's a cactus.
Yeah. It's a cactus, and it dances. And it was supposed to be an educational tool, apparently.
Well, of course.
Because it speaks in several languages. I think it's English, French, and Polish. And she turned the Polish section on, and she was just like, to my utter surprise, when do I hear it say, oh, how good it is to do cocaine by yourself, which is the saddest thing I've also ever heard, the idea of just doing cocaine by yourself, because apparently it was lifted from a Polish rapper by the name of Sypis.
Oh.
Sypis Kypis?
I don't know.
He said the song is about taking 5 grams of cocaine and doing it by yourself.
Well, you know, that makes sense. That sounds like something a Polish rapper would rap about. So again, it's a cactus. It's a dancing cactus. It's supposed to be an educational toy. Now, to some degree, isn't teaching children how to do cocaine at a very young age educational? This is according to Ania Tanner. So this is what she told CTV News in Toronto. She says, this toy uses swear words and talks about cocaine use. This is not what I ordered for my granddaughter.
But imagine
the granddaughter's
if it
was. Not going to know. Maybe
seriously,
it was.
Though, your granddaughter won't know. But also imagine if you're like, yes, the cocaine dancing cactus Polish Christmas present. If that's on your list and you found that, honestly, you should. That's the most luckiest thing than you've ever experienced.
It's pretty freaking cool. It's a $26 toy, which is a little expensive for a dancing cacti. But what do I know about buying children's toys?
Supply lines.
Absolutely. Speaking of lines, the cocaine that the song talks about, apparently the cactus just loves it. It can't get enough of it. But I would be very careful if I was a cactus, because cocaine makes you a little thirsty. And cacti are already... in places that don't have a lot of water, so perhaps
they'll
be a little
water,
parched.
Though. That's what happens. You open up a cactus, if you are actually in the middle of the desert, which I do believe is real. You know how many times that happens to me.
Mm-hmm.
Look for a succulent cactus, and you open it up, and you can squeeze water from its membranes.
Very nice. Well, it's a Chinese-made toy.
You're not even listening to me. You're not even checking in with me. You don't even look at me.
I tell you
survival guides, and I'm
you
setting
just told
up
me
a survival plan.
I can suck the water out of a cactus, but again... I have a fantastic Rockstar energy drink right here. So I don't need to suck the water out of a cactus. If I am stuck for some reason, if I go to Burning Man and I wander off, as I will do.
That's not good. You will. Of course you will.
If I find a cactus and I'm like, look at that beautiful cactus.
No.
And then I end up, you could tell me any way to survive. And I'm still just going to end up drinking my own piss.
But you know
it's
what's
like,
funny?
I don't know what to do.
I feel like you'd last a long time. Not like the family that was hiking in Devil's Gulch. I feel like you would have a lot of water hidden within your folds. And that it's if you just like
unleash
in the
it.
Sandworm in God Emperor, like he takes out a little titty. This is true at the end of God Emperor, Book 4 of Dune. And the woman that he's like training to like replace him or whatever bullshit, it's a long story. He makes her suckle on her little teat. She fucking trips balls right at the very end. Like he pulls out this little worm teat. I bet you can do the same.
I only have the two nipples. I have nipples. Can you milk me? Oh,
yep.
What a great movie that was. Well, just lastly, when it comes to Tanner, the woman who bought the cursing, cocaine-loving, dancing cactus, she says, I just want anybody before Christmas to think this is a great toy and go online and have this. I just don't want anyone to think this is a great toy and go online and purchase it and then have the same thing that happened to me happen to them. Which it really isn't that dramatic. I think the woman is also protesting slightly too much. And if you did buy this, it's awesome. And she
cool.
hold on to it because it's a really cool little dancing cactus that talks about cocaine.
And now it's worth money because it's rare. Because they discontinued it. Walmart pulled it from its whatever its virtual shelves because apparently it's from one of their marketplaces. So it's like they don't even know. That's one of these things about like Walmart and Amazon is that many companies can basically apply to have their wares be sold on these giant umbrella company websites. And so technically Walmart had, quote unquote, nothing to do with the doll. It was just somebody using their marketplace. And then they're like, we've talked to them about Polish cocaine use and how they need to stop eating it with a spoon. Because they're like, why do they serve it with spoon if you're not supposed to eat like powdered sugar?
I'm just sad that this dancing cactus is 1,000 times smarter than me and you because it's trilingual. And it's just amazing what these dancing cactuses know
it's
about.
It's incredible. Europe has a different educational system.
They really do.
There's an update I want to do.
Okay.
So this comes from the Missouri case of the missing woman, Cassidy Rainwater, that was found on these horrible people's property.
These guys are so fucking, so horrifying looking. It's just insane.
I want to shout out to the stylish cannibals out there. Like, think about what you're wearing a little bit. I don't know why we haven't seen one flashy cannibal in any way, shape, or form. They always are dumpy.
Hannibal, of course, but I guess that's a
movie. He's fake. He's got a fucking wardrobe designer and shit. But
right.
One thing that they have now confirmed is that cannibalism was indeed on the menu, which was seemed to have been a rumor. And what I also, again, our listeners step up to the plate. They're the best fucking group of street team bastards I've ever met.
Sure.
And this is really, really interesting. Apparently, rumors are, and this has been confirmed.
Yeah.
The man who owned the house, whose name was James Phelps, he was found eating a human sandwich.
Oh my God. Okay.
And they found a human sandwich. They think that they definitely are pretty sure that this is not the first time he's killed someone because what they found was they had a thing called a gantry crane, which is commonly used for deer processing, which is where they found her. She had been hung up and they basically had butchered her like an animal, like a butcher, like they were going to eat her.
House of 1,000 corpses style.
And they are pretty certain that this is no way, shape, or form the first time they did it because there is no way they had a system down this far. Because when they found her, she was, this is very grisly, obviously.
It's
but they
disgusting.
Had found her wrapped up in the freezer, marked by date, right? Like, so he had put her in there with an...
There is something like... obviously, anyone who's worked in a restaurant, you put the mayo away. When did you put it away? What dates? So you know when things spoil. It is very interesting that they went the extra mile, took out the Sharpie, and was like, that's November 3rd. Don't forget it. If you eat it by November 10th, it's not going to be good anymore.
You don't want to get sick. And you know what they say?
Disgusting.
It's not that it gets you sick. It just won't be as tasty.
It won't be as tasty. So James Phelps, as Henry said, he was also rooming with another dude named Timothy Horton.
I know Timothy Norton is another villain because he's the truck driver that was, quote unquote, just staying with him. We think here, and the police seem to also kind of surmise too, is that he's been bringing women to that spot. But there's still been no other remains found. Besides Cassidy Rainwater.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's what the sheriff's statement says, that Miss Rainwater was strangled by the two men before being gutted and dismembered.
Yeah, it's not good.
And, it's
not
really
good.
Horrible. When the search warrant was executed at the Phelps home, they uncovered photos of a partially clothed female in a cage who we recognized as Cassidy. The other photos had Cassidy's body bound in a gantry crane, a gantry crane, as Henry said. Oh, my God.
No, it's really gross. It's really gross. And then apparently he did the thing that we should maybe cover at some point, like Nathaniel Bar-Jonah, who's another fucking monster that I was reading about the other day that we'll end up doing a series on. But he had people over the night before.
Right.
For what is the traditional cannibal meal, pork ribs, because he said they were pork ribs, which is why they were a little weird. So we had a bunch of people over there chowing down the night before. And the way he talked about it to the way he spoke about it to the police officers, he just kind of said to me, like, yeah, we've been chowing on it for a minute now. Like, that's what we do. That's our meat. That's our livelihood.
Yeah,
and then
as
a police officer, you just have to sit there and go like, uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. And like taking the notes and like, uh-huh. Oh, wow. Oh.
So was it? Was it barbecue sauce that you used or ketchup? You put ketchup on it, huh? I don't put ketchup on my food.
You got it, buddy. You got to get some of that sweet when you're hitting it with that heat.
Oh, my goodness. Sweet Baby Ray's was never intended for human flesh. The meat was
labeled. We don't know.
The human, well, we don't know, actually. That's a good point. The human bean meat was labeled 7/24, July 24th. So obviously,
which coincides with the missing when she went missing and all of that kind of stuff. So we'll keep covering the story because it's good and disgusting. And
it is
what
disgusting.
We like to cover. Yeah, it's fucking rough, man. Just the idea of being of just hungry in Missouri. That's what they would say if they were writing into an advice column, you know?
Yeah. So right now, Norton has said that his lawyer says that he intends to plead not guilty. And people don't know if Mr. Phelps has an attorney yet.
All right. No, no. I don't think that he does.
Rise from your grave.
Well, let's do one more quick update here. Not too much to talk about here, but
no, dude, are you talking about our boy Prince Midnight?
Not Prince Midnight, but we can
another
get to Midnight.
Shout, I'll just say it really quick. This is just our business. Shout out to a friend of the show, Prince Midnight. He invented Invade a Toilet. That looks like Lars Ulrich. You could go and look this up online. It is a big old caster. I don't know how he made it. And the Prince Midnight, he just wants to tell people, right? This is from Loudwire. Make no mistake. This is not me taking a jab at Lars. This is my way, albeit unconventionally, to honor Lars Ulrich and Metallica. I could have painted a picture or made a traditional sculpture, but no one would have even noticed. And really, that's not the kind of art and performance I do. The first band I ever loved was Metallica. The first record I ever became obsessed with was the first, and it was the first music I ever dove into. It was the first concert I ever attended. Yeah. So now you can sit on the dick and balls of Lars Ulrich and shit in front of him.
You
it's incredible.
What? I agree. I believe that he is being sincere.
Yes.
And if anyone makes a toilet in the image of Henry or myself, or
oh
Marcus
my God,
or,
I will purchase it from you.
Sure.
If you make a toilet in the shape of me, I will purchase it for you.
Because you know we need to stop. We need to destigmatize the bathroom. Everybody poops. We all read the book. We all know
we
what
know.
Happens.
I have several
and
volumes
I feel like
of the book.
Several. I know you have one through nine. So we need to normalize that, and I think that's wonderful that Lars has now officially taken the form that we all see him as. Which is a human toilet.
Yes.
Also, quick update on Alex Murdaugh, of course, in South Carolina. Thanks everyone who came out to the shows in South Carolina. Alex Murdaugh, still no, like, people just die around him, I guess, and
they
like,
just
what
do,
happens.
And nobody is prosecuting him for any of the murders.
No,
that he
however,
is connected to. It's all just the money.
It is all the money, and it's not a small amount. It's $5 million, and there are now 27 additional charges involving financial crime. So they're going to get him on the finances. That's the way it always works. Still, no charges on the shooting deaths of his wife, Maggie, and his son, Paul, which was just in June. So if you're him, are you like, I'm the luckiest and least luckiest man in the world? I have no idea what this maniac must be thinking, but
you know, I feel like in some way, shape, or form, he has now been shown he's a career criminal, sociopath, murderer, all this kind of shit. But the one thing that no one really wants to talk about or really assess is the amount of stress that these sociopath, murderer, financial crime guys are under.
Do you think that he's under it?
Yeah, I think that he was living a little bit of Uncut Gems lifestyle for a while. I think he had just killed his wife and his son, and that was like...
It's a lot.
That was a lot.
It's
he was really
amount.
Dealing with that. He's got all this money he's stealing. That's a lot.
That's
he's
a lot.
Go. I feel like that there is a point where you're finally in the jail,
oh
right? And you've got all of your crimes
right.
are being revealed, and there must be a sort of calm that might come over you where you're like, well, at least I don't have to keep up stories anymore.
Well, there was
now
a
I'm
man,
just here.
I think that's a totally valid point. There is something about getting caught. Many people will express like, I'm surprised it took you so long. I believe that's what
Son of Sam said that.
And there was another man who was recently, he murdered somebody, I think it was in 2012, and he was on the lam, he was on the run, and then they ran a TV show about him, and then he was so
John
fucking...
List. Same thing
just,
when we did John List.
He just went and turned himself in. He's like, this is easier than being on the run. So maybe you're right. Maybe he is like, finally, the mansion inside of the prison walls, inside of my mind, I can live comfortably now.
Or
knowing
he's
that I got
like
away
an
with
Epstein.
Killing my entire family.
Well, Well, because, you know, Ghislaine is now going to be on trial. We're going to see what she's doing. She's trying to wiggle her way out of all this fucking bullshit. But I think it's the same thing where it depends on what type of rich you are, right? Are you Epstein, Ghislaine, where you probably commit suicide or do whatever it takes to not be in jail anymore because you lost all the things that mattered to you when it came to your status and what you do in life and all of the secrets that you get to hold on to, that type of shit as a rich person? Or is he just looking forward to is this retirement? Does he finally get to stop working? Because I don't think he's got a lot of feelings.
I don't think so. No, I don't think he does. And we'll talk about the Ghislaine Maxwell trial as it happens just really briefly.
It just started. They're doing jury selection right now.
And I read an interesting article. It's just in the Sun. So, you know, it's pretty basic. But just a couple of different points as far as like trying to her defense team. So basically, they're going to talk about the age of the accusers.
All the stops.
Oh, yes, they are. They're going to talk about can she have a fair trial given the media attention. They're also going to bring up a lot of false.
Well,
I don't think you're passing jury duty right now, Henry. You are not going to be the jury.
Let me get in there, man. I'm going to throw a fucking sandwich at her, dude.
They're also going to attack what are called false memories, as of course time is eroded.
That's all garbage. They've tried to do that.
They're going to talk about is she a scapegoat for Epstein? So that trial is going to be very interesting.
Because she's the only other person who knows the extent of his crimes. And if she really wanted to, she could just flip and tell everybody everything. And then we'd thank her. Everybody would let her live her life if she just came out and told us all of her bullshit. But no, she's the same type of egomaniac as the other fuckface was. And it's going to take her getting killed in that jail cell, which I mean, probably could happen. She won't make it. Or imagine she gets exonerated when she's in the gen pop. What I hope is that she never lives a peaceful day again for the rest of her life. And then she might have to off herself just to get away from it. Look at stupid Brian Landry, which we also fucking called because that bitch couldn't take living up to his and serving his consequences.
She'll go live like a cryptid in the woods if she does get found not guilty.
I hope she doesn't. I still have hope that they'll at least. I feel like the problem is that the idea of her having a fair trial. I have no clue how you do that with this woman. But I hope at most she gets some jail time and she can get her shit stripped from her.
Well, and of course, you know, as we talk about here on the show, it's about the victims, and she is not one of them, and she is a perpetrator of many, many alleged crimes, allegedly, but we will watch that trial and it'll be super interesting. And hopefully she does talk if she takes the stand. But anyway, Henry, I have to do this story for you.
Yes.
This involves an axe.
Yeah.
Cork axe killer murdered brothers in row over timber business.
He killed somebody within the lumber community with an axe.
Yes, he
did. That's fucking sweet.
And the names of these people, Johnny Hennessy, Patrick Hennessy, and Willie Hennessy, they all were owners of Co-Cork Farm. And apparently Johnny became enraged and just straight up snapped. And because of that, he killed both Patrick and Willie. He killed them with an axe. And apparently it was also detectives are investigating the horrific double murder and suicide. They have pieced together the gruesome timeline of events that led to the deaths of these three Hennessy brothers. So he killed both of his brothers and then killed himself. That is just a family gone in like a minute.
Wow. He became enraged. Oh, we're yelling about lumber. Meanwhile, the Garda watchdog is probing reports of one of the men called local officers before the bloodbath as hey, help was not needed. It sounds like they really got into a fight and then it got way out of control. Well, and that they were trying to say, like, because they were having old Pa Hennessy thought he could talk his way. He could tell old Jenny. He's like, listen, Jenny, I'm your pa. You can't be coming to me. You can't be coming to me. He's kind of angry. And then, like, you know, and then he said, oh, sure. You know what happens when we tell an Irish person to calm down?
What?
Opposite, bro.
Opposite indeed. So what
never tell somebody to calm down. Especially like calm your tits. Calm your tits. You excitable little boy. I am the pa here. I'm Pa Hennessy.
I do love Dr. Zabrowski. He always gives the best exams. Patty Hennessy, he was found dead in the yard. He suffered one single devastating hatchet blow to the head. And then it was the brother. He was also found dead with multiple axe wounds. And then apparently Johnny said he was so in shock, he was so distressed, he had to go take his own life. He drove his Toyota Corolla car van from the farm, parked near a church. His body was pulled from the river about 5 kilometers. He left his wallet in his pocket, he left his wallet in the car so he could be identified. So they're just all dead now. I don't know what the fight was over. But apparently Patty's son, Paddy.
This is a lot of Irish here.
He died tragically at the age of 21. And 2 years later, the Hennessy's older brother, who worked at Cork Mart's, also died at 57. So maybe, did Johnny just kill his whole family?
It sounds like there's a lot going on. I guess the lumber business is very stressful.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess not. Or maybe it just comes down to it's hard times. Supply lines. That's the thing.
Lines.
I just say things. I just say that randomly now. But yeah, maybe that's what it is. Because it sounds like... nothing good was going on inside the house.
I don't know what's going on in this. It's the Garda district. The Hennessy's brother tragedy occurred in the same Garda district as another murder-suicide last year when Mark O'Sullivan was shot in his bed and then his brother Diarmuid and the father Tog.
Yeah, I mean, these are very Irish names. This is all, I think that's Gaelic.
What is
and
happening?
Obviously, sidestorieslpotl@gmail.com. Just tell us how we mispronounce it and exactly what we're supposed to do, because they're from Cork. So God knows if that's a specific type. I don't know.
It's a tough day in the lumber business. The lumber business just lost one of their best lumber families.
And honestly, it's just hard to have all these axes lying around and not use them.
Yeah, that's true. I feel like the axe, well, we've already talked about it. I would think I would rather go with the axe than a knife, because the axe, you also get bludgeoned. And I feel like the bludgeoning, but you know, with a knife, there's something about cutting the flesh with a knife and it makes it really like, kind of brutal.
Just,
I feel like axe, it kind of bludgeons you and then you're like, whoa, I can't believe it. And then you kind of go unconscious.
It's a much less traumatic injury to just be slashed with a knife than get hit with an axe. Because hit with an axe, but I would prefer to be murdered with an axe because it would be faster if you just got me in the head, right? If you just get me in the head, then I'm dead. And
sure.
It doesn't matter. But if a knife... A lot of times it takes multiple stabs and you could still die over like 20 minutes. Like you slowly leaking while going like, oh, my fucking guts.
Oh, man. Like, oh, man. I'm bleeding out here, man.
Yeah. Like you're going too deep, man. Like that type of shit. I don't want to deal with that in any way, shape, or form. I don't want to leak to death. I would prefer to be surprised and murdered quickly, get it over with. Just lop it off, because I'll just make a lot of noise until you kill me anyway.
I'm gonna get
people here.
Well,
you know what I mean.
So,
if you do it within a couple city blocks, I'm gonna build a crowd. And even if it's just singing "Masquerade, Paper Faces on Parade," and they're like, "Oh, someone's doing a Phantom review," and they all come out and they just see a corpse. Like they'll be
you know,
there.
Like so many songs, it's ridiculous. Also, R.I.P. Stephen Sondheim.
Sondheim, yes.
Sondheim.
But I didn't put up my theater. I should have put up my theater kid picture, because you know how as soon as somebody famous dies, everybody has to make it about them, how they are a part of this person's life.
Mm-hmm.
But I won a superior in thespian competition.
Really?
Singing an a cappella version of "It Takes a Lot of Men to Make a Gun." Hundreds, many men to make a gun.
To make
quartet.
A gun?
Yes, from Assassins. The musical about assassins, I fucking love.
Well,
men in the mines
next...
to dig for iron, men at the mills to forge for steel, men at the machines to make the barrels, mold the triggers, shake the wheels. It takes a lot of men to make a gun.
Well, it's a very good rendition. Assassins, my older brother was in that play in college. Well, speaking of guns, it also takes a lot of work to shoot yourself in the pussy. November 24th, this is very recently, a webcam model. She accidentally shot her vagina with a 9mm. I mean, it's not funny, but it is. But she shot her vagina with a 9mm handgun while recording a video. And I just have to ask you, Henry, is because, you know, we talk about the fetishization of guns. Guns are there as a utility. If you need to protect your family, sure. But do you think
the gun church
that
moved the gun church that moved to Texas? You know that they are.
Of course,
they have been messaging that they are going to be doing a big group suicide. So they are. That's
are they really?
That's starting to like coalesce into something very dangerous, which is what I imagined as soon as they got their own compound. But yeah, they're already talking about like end times. Like that shit's going to go off the rails in some way, shape, or form within a year or so. That's what I get, my guess.
Anyway, so this woman, she was in Georgia. She was doing a webcam, and I don't know. I guess it was kind of nudie tootie, which is, you know, good for her. And then she was, I guess, well, I don't know what she was doing with the firearm, but somehow it discharged and it shot off her pussy.
Well, I've been trying to look up is how bad the pussy wound was. Because first it said like, it sounded like, when you first read the headline, you're like, she stuck a gun up her vagina. And then I thought she got shot in the pussy. Like it went up inside of her. But it seems like she just grazed her leg while she must have been fondling it. She told her boyfriend, or was it husband, that she was doing videos online for people that were paying her on a thing called Chatty,
Chatterbait.
I think, it was short for Chatterbait, right? Yeah. But she called it Chatty. And I think that she might have been like rubbing her clit with it or like some kind of thing. Maybe she dropped it. She could have dropped it and then it went off. But this is the thing that screws me up is that the grandma was in the living room with her daughter while she was in the other room masturbating with a gun. And then the husband also didn't know what was going on until they heard the gunshot. And then they went in there and then apparently she came out all upset because her pussy was bleeding, but it didn't seem like it was that like big of an injury.
No, the man's name is Jordan Allen, and he says that she came out with a small amount of blood on her leg. Allen advised that she started saying that she was sorry. He advised that she told him that she shot herself accidentally. I wouldn't, you know, the first thing I wouldn't be is like, you apologize for shooting yourself. I would be like, okay,
Bullets.
Yeah. The shooting, which police classified as reckless conduct, is unlikely to result in any criminal charges. I would hope not, because it's like when Plaxico Burress, the former New York Giant, shot himself in the leg. He still got time in prison. I'm like, the dude shot himself in the leg. Isn't that punishment enough?
It was just him.
Yeah, apparently. The thing that she would do is take tips from viewers. Obviously, tips is in money, and then they would request certain sex acts.
Yeah, so that makes sense. Yeah, like it's like a many vids or a custom video. Like she was just doing some kind of custom video, which is like it doesn't just take a redneck to want to see a gun slowly touch a pussy. That I actually think is weirdly universal.
Okay, that's very possible. You're right. Perhaps I was being redneckist.
The only way, shape, or form. Kissel, like obviously. It was some kind of fucking redneck who did this shit. Right. Like, there was no way it wasn't. But you have to be open to the possibility.
The wires that get crossed when it's like, yeah, you got a gun. Why don't you touch your pussy with the gun? It's like, what is happening here? Unless the gun is committing a home invasion on your body somehow, I don't know.
Well, you're a single man. You understand, like, this type of things, it does come up every once in a while where, like, you'll meet somebody and they seem normal or whatever. And then, like, let's say you're in the middle. Like, once you're hard and you're in the scenario and you're doing all this kind of stuff, like, you'll say anything. You're like, yeah, rub the gun. If she pulled out a gun, right, like, while you're doing it, you'd be like, yeah, rub your gun in your fucking pussy.
We're going to work it in, yeah.
You have to figure it out because also, what if she then just takes you hostage? So you have to keep the game going. You have to keep the game going. She could have brought out the gun or been like, look, see what I got, see what I do. And the guy's like, yeah, why don't you rub her pussy with it? And he didn't even think about it. And she's like, all right, okay. Know. And she could already been covered. I'm building out the story. She could already been covered in lube.
Maybe.
And then slippy-doo.
Oh,
drops the gun, shoots you in the pussy.
Right.
Because the pussy's out.
Yeah. Well, there's a whole series of different possibilities there. And we're just happy that no one else was injured.
We are.
You never know what mom's doing in the bedroom.
And don't want
to
know.
It's a different time to be a kid. It really
is.
Our mom's maybe watching a soap, maybe just kind of regretting their lives in there.
Well, she was just crying. My mom, I think, most of the time was
she's
just crying.
She's cried, yeah. But now, they could have been on Chatterbait. So technically, we're not going to complain. I'm not complaining.
No. I'm not complaining. I'm so glad I don't have to run into that. But also, for you moms that are out there jerking off for the rest of us, thank you.
Thank you for your service.
Live from your grave.
This is another story about who's the victim here, what's happening, and also how small town, like, meddling can fuck with people's lives in a way that's also really strange. Yeah.
Dude, that's why I had to get out of the small town. The small town gossip that's, of course, been brought to our doorstep with Twitter and Facebook and everything else. It's a waking nightmare. But my God, a small town, dude? I mean, you think about
Roger. Destroy your life. They want to run every movement you have because they know you can do a baby.
Am I not wrong when I talk about Roger the Catfucker? Every time someone from Stevens Point is in the crowd, they say, we know Roger the Catfucker. It's a small town legend. It's all real. And that's
meanwhile,
Roger's
sitting there and be like, you mean to tell me you spend your whole life going and having sex with maybe a dozen cats? And now I'm Roger the Catfucker?
Yeah.
I've only done it that maybe 14, 15 times.
Who knows?
Maybe 20, 21 times. I'm the Catfucker?
Small town drama, oftentimes mixed with animals.
It is. But now talking about mixed with animals, this story. Now,
it's
this woman
cute.
Looks sweet. Margaret Porter. I don't know how I feel about this woman because you think this is cute, but I think that this is nefarious. Grandmother issued with restraining order to stop feeding carrots to quote unquote sad horse. Right. Now you say this and you hear this story and you think like, oh, this is crazy. What's going on? But it really is about her determination to feed this horse that I don't really understand. So
yes.
This woman, this is in UK, obviously. This is very much a UK story. So Margaret Porter, 67 years fun. She saw this horse, Nelson the horse.
Oh.
She was passing by it on this farm, right? And she kept like going to this idea because this is such like a my mom move where she's
right.
Like, that horse looks too skinny. She
it's
was
just,
like, nobody cares for this horse. Nobody cares for this horse. So she pulled over, started feeding this horse carrots.
Okay,
right?
So far I say, okay, good for her. She
cute.
Didn't know. Okay, kind of cute.
Cute. But it kept happening, right? And eventually the person who owned the horse kept coming outside and looking at this, like seeing carrots everywhere. This horse was apparently being fed a very specific diet. It was an ex-racing horse.
Mm-hmm.
And this family was taking care of it on this farm after they purchased it. This Margaret Porter woman keeps coming out and saying like, oh, she kept passing by the horse and saying how sad looking it was.
How sad he was, yeah.
Finally, the people that own the horse came out and said like, please stop doing this. Stop feeding this horse. Like, why are you feeding my horse? Do you realize what you're doing? Like, honestly, you could poison my horse or you could give it colic and you could make it ill. And the woman said, you can go ahead and call the fucking police. I'm feeding this horse.
Right.
So you're like, whoa, okay, we've now taken this up a notch. You said on your own volition, call the cops. I'm not stopping feeding this horse. When like all we had to do was make a gentleman's agreement, like you can fucking look at this horse. You could think it's skinny or not, but it's not. Like technically what you think a dog is supposed to look like healthy. Like, you know, dogs are supposed to be skinny. Dogs can be at weight.
Sure.
Or they could be slightly above weight, which is technically bad for it. But to you, in your mind, if you think food is love, oh, you want the horse to be a little bit chubby. Because
well,
in your mind, that's a well-loved horse. But
she's
it's
just
not
attracted to these skinny-ass horses. She likes them a little bit more thick. But we know for a fact the horse is actually being taken care of because the RSPCA, which
of course
is the inspect, they keep
coming out. And they're saying the horse is fine. So now they have to fucking get the police involved. To say, like, hey, they had to put a restraining order, which is the first ever restraining order ever granted of such a thing where a woman has to keep a certain amount of meters away from a horse.
Yes, indeed. Other than that movie,
Zoo. Yeah. Yes.
But,
yes,
you know, the
yes.
interesting thing about Mrs. Porter, and this is where she is a little bit nefarious. And, of course, it is kind of cute, but then also immensely aggravating.
She
because
just
it's like,
keeps
stay.
Coming.
Stop.
She keeps
stop
coming.
Coming. Please. This isn't the first time she's been in trouble for food-related incident.
Yes.
In 2005, she was convicted of assaulting her very own brother with 3 sticks of rhubarb. Unbelievable that she was able to... Nothing, no food is safe around this woman. She'll kill you with a chickpea.
But is it weird to say that this amount of violence over carrots and rhubarb speaks to somebody... who might, like, hit you with their car.
No, she could very well curse you, thinner. Like, I could see.
I gotta sue.
There's a lot going on with this woman.
Well, because she hurt her brother enough with rhubarb that he called the cops.
It got stuck in his eye.
This is what I'm saying. Like, this is a lot of, like, if you have to get the police involved with vegetable crimes, like, it's getting serious. We need to ask this woman, like, what is this and what it? Do you remember the rhubarb woman? That YouTube video, that viral video, the rhubarb woman?
Sure, yes.
No, do you? Kissel, look, no, you don't. I see the lack of recognition in your eyes.
Yes.
Kissel, yes. What is nice is that because you don't remember it, you're about to have a delightful, like, 3 minutes after this.
I just YouTube rhubarb woman.
Look up rhubarb woman. You're going to like it. But she, because I showed it on the stream a million years ago. But this, like, it's just, she might escalate.
Dude, she's going to kill somebody because she threw the rhubarb out of her cottage door, out of her cottage window. She lost her temper. No, she really is. This is the beginning of, like, the worst horror movie of all time. It reminds me of that movie Wolf Creek. But instead of, like, that man being super scary, it'll be this woman. Oh, yes, of course, for stealing the rhubarb.
Yes, she stole original, the rhubarb. The original woman who would go with Aethel, like, and she'd be like, fuck you.
That's right.
You got to watch this on your own time.
Yes, indeed. Original crazy lady stealing rhubarb. You never know. I didn't realize there was so much drama around the rhubarb. But
there shouldn't be. I feel like rhubarb is a tart offering.
Yeah.
And it's a nice, not too sweet version of a pie. Which I honestly like because I'm not into super sweet desserts.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. All right, and just lastly, as far as crime stories go, husbands, never trust your wife. Jennifer Faith, she created a fake email account, and she was talking to her boyfriend. And what she wanted her boyfriend to do was think that her husband was abusing her in order to get the boyfriend so upset, because you know how men are, be like, oh, you messing with my gal, even though he's the boyfriend and she's married, and technically the husband should be more mad at him for having sex with his wife.
No, this shit's like, fuck. This is one of those stories where she went so far to kill this goateed man, and there is no reason, yeah, maybe he didn't eat pussy, or maybe he wasn't,
he's got,
like,
the goatee
good
that says he does.
I don't know if sometimes it's more,
yeah, the,
like,
goatee can go either way.
You more pay to watch somebody else eat pussy when you have a goatee, but it's, which is fine, but I don't think this man needed to be shot
seven times.
He was shot 3 times in the chest, 3 times in the head, and then he shot him in the dick to end
right.
it. And in one of those scenarios where he pretended to be a mugger, the boyfriend pretended to be a mugger and jumped on them while they were walking down the street, and then he fucking Selena'd this dude.
Well, this was and let's not forget the time here. This is 7:30 in the morning. Jennifer and Jamie Faith.
Early.
They were way early. They were walking their Bernese mountain dog, Maggie. Well, they should never have killed this man in front of the dog, but whatever.
Yeah, the dogs are being traumatized.
So the dude jumps out, as Henry said, and it's almost comical if it wasn't so sad. He's got a hoodie on. He's got baggy jeans. He's like, this is how robbers dress. He looks like he's about to go to a ICP concert. Not that juggalos are criminals innately. He also, so he shot this dude 7 freaking times, just to make sure, as Henry said.
7 times.
And then he attempted to take Jennifer's jewelry and then kind of duct taped her hands, and then he jumped back in the car and left. And then what happened here is so fucking disgusting. All of a sudden, everyone, this is in Oak Cliff, I believe, Texas. Everyone in the community is like, oh my God, I can't believe this happened. They had clothing drives for her. They delivered her food every single day for months.
Yep.
She got $60,000 in a GoFundMe. The ladies club again got a meal train going, providing 2 meals a day for several weeks, including a vegan Thanksgiving, which you can't be a vegan and a murderer, can you?
Yes.
And then a few months later.
Yes, you can. You definitely can.
A few months later, Jennifer went on TV news to thank everyone and to plead with authorities to capture the person who was the backbone of my family, to capture the person who killed the backbone of my family.
Well,
it turned out it was her and her boyfriend, Darren Lopez.
Well, Darren Lopez was like, it is so weird because, like,
well, apparently they weren't even fucking. They were having an emotional affair.
Yes, and you know what? I do partially blame all of this on fucking Facebook. Something happens after the age of 45 on Facebook where you guys all start fucking all the people you met in high school. I don't know what the hell happens on that thing. You guys just all start like refiring all these old, like 25-year-old relationships. And this guy, I'm not gonna say that Lopez was dumb. But I'm going to go on a limb and say he was gullible because he said that, like, she sent him fake emails, like, from her own husband.
There's one
bragging about how. So he sent an email to him as her own husband, bragging about abusing her and about how, like, he likes to fucking kick her around. You can do this. You got to handle it. You don't even know what I do. Meanwhile, this guy's like, you don't talk that kind of mess to Jennifer. You don't do that to Jennifer. And then meanwhile, like, it's like, who would do this?
It's horrible. So as Henry said, Jamie, air quotes Jamie, because it was all this woman making this stuff up, Jennifer Faith, bragged about inflicting emotional and sexual abuse. And then the quote was, good stuff. Enjoy knowing you can't fucking do anything about it. And apparently the photo, then she sent a photo to this guy to further convince him. But apparently that photo was taken after a 2012 accident. So she was all bruised up. So this guy, you know, he's just a moron. He's just a freaking moron.
Yeah.
And it's in. Anyway.
And it's unfortunate. Wouldn't we have a long talk about how we have to feel for morons sometimes? Because morons don't know sometimes. They're very stupid. I'm not going to say that he's innocent in any way, shape, or form. Sometimes being stupid is what makes you the most guilty. But Darren Lopez, he had blinders on. And I think that what he really needed to do was sit and think about, is this woman... there's a lid for every pot, right?
Sure.
But is this woman, look at her, is this the woman that you're going to go to jail for? Like, she might be, do you remember something back in the day? I just don't think it is worth it for one last chance at your high school girlfriend. I mean,
I don't know. So Lopez has pleaded not guilty to the gun charge after authorities found the alleged murder weapon in his house. He's expected to enter a plea on the murder charge soon. Jennifer has yet to plead on the murder for higher charges. She potentially faces life in prison or the death penalty. It's just sad when you see, oh my goodness, she's a Wisconsin native and a Green Bay Packer fanatic. Jamie, no, I'm sorry. No, that's Jamie. That's the victim. The victim is a Green Bay Packer fanatic. So that's even more demeaning to Jennifer. She took a Pack fan out of the field, out of the playing game, which is not good.
Now he's just up there with Dick Butler and Walter Mogorski and the other the great Hall of Fame of Packers that meets you when you die.
Apparently the Faiths love to entertain. They lived in the biggest house on Waverly Drive. Man, this is just talk about someone who doesn't want to be seen as like, you know, the puritanical view of divorce. And they're like, I can never get a divorce. Meanwhile, she's setting up a murder for hire.
Can I just say this again? Just divorce him.
Just get divorced.
I know you hate him. You hate his dick. You hate his breath. You hate every single thing about him. But do the thing when it comes out to go for the wallet. Take the money.
Why
and
you
get
taking,
out.
Don't take anything. Be responsible.
I mean it. But I'm just saying, take the money. If you're trying to get revenge on somebody, the money is so much better than you going to jail for it. You don't want to go to jail. Like,
well,
you
maybe
might be
therapy.
A piece of shit.
Maybe try couples therapy.
I guess so. Yeah, do one round of couples therapy because it's nice they have a ref in there who can like be there when you say the things that you need to say, that kind of shit.
All right.
But don't kill him. Because then you get in trouble.
Divorce advice, rather, from Henry
Zabrowski. Like, why are we so afraid of getting divorced? Everybody's divorced.
It's a waking nightmare.
Angelina Jolie's divorced.
Yeah,
but I mean, like.
It's different, though.
Yeah, it is a nightmare. Yeah, it sounds awful. We have all of our friends. We had our one friend who went through his fucking 3-year divorce. Like, people go through horrible, horrible divorces. But at the same time, it's not life in prison.
No, it's not. No, it's not. All right. Well, let's do Hero of the Week. There we go.
You sounded like you were really thinking about it. You were thinking about it for a second. Is it worth it to murder?
You know, no, I just feel like I don't know. There's a lot of people who get a lot of money and stuff, and I say, wait, can't we just go? Can't we just go our separate ways?
It's hard anyway. Because then you have to set that up beforehand. That's called a prenup. And then you have to deal with the whole thing of like, I don't think you're going to leave me and take everything, but this is the insurance. And then you get to deal with that fallout.
Well, email side stories actually on the prenup, because I always thought that would be kind of a tricky conversation to have. But
it is.
All right. Well, let's do Hero of the Week. I was going to do Australians, these Australian firefighters who posed with animals to help out in animal rescue for a calendar. They're real hunks. But, instead I'm going to do 61 people. They're all heroes to me. They were stranded inside of a British pub with an Oasis cover band for 3 days because of a blizzard. Now, you might think this is going to be horrible, but it turns out everyone had a great time.
Wow.
Dozens of people and an Oasis cover band. They made the most of the bad weather. They were stuck inside for three days. They're located in Yorkshire Dales, about 270 miles north of London. There were 61 people in there, and apparently they never ran out of beer. Ooh, what a miracle. And everyone was in really good spirits, and they formed a lot of friendships, and now they're like one big family. And they're like super close now forever and ever and ever because they had 3 days together in a pub. Isn't that nice? Man. So good
and
for them.
I bet you they first show up to that pub thinking today was going to be the day that they were going to throw it back to you. But now you should have somehow realized what you got to do is that you got to sit there and you got to hang out with this Oasis cover band for the next couple of days and watch them fight.
But you know what? If I'm going to like Wonderwall, I could listen to an Oasis cover band. You're there for three freaking days. They also have to know some other music.
They don't have like some a lot of songs. Honestly, they don't have a lot of songs.
They don't, but I'm sure they know like Chumbawamba or something like that.
They know some Beatles know the name? And shit.
Do you want to know the name of the Oasis cover band?
Yes.
No Oasis. And there you go. So No Oasis. No Oasis wrote on Instagram, oh, it's a lovely war. We're still stranded at the Tan Hill Inn. Hope it rains soon.
Yeah, they're just getting fucking hammered, dog.
They're just absolutely hammered. So anyway, that's sweet. It could have ended mass murder. It could have been like that fantastic film. I'm just thinking of Tom Savini right now where it's like two different movies directed by Tarantino.
You see the picture of Tom Savini celebrating his 75th birthday, man? He's tight. You know,
I like when old men show that they have better bodies than me. And he good for
is
him.
Thirst trapping on Twitter, which is fantastic. He's got a good body for 75 years young.
For 25, he's got a good body. So he's doing good. Was not thrilled when I ran up to him and gave him a hug. But that's okay. I wouldn't be thrilled either.
At least he did acknowledge you, which is really nice.
He did.
All right, I got a couple of letters here. A lot of people reaching out about pig cum and how we could get it and sell
great.
It because that was the thing that we were talking about before the little break there. And there's one that was
Will,
really
are you
going
to tell us details? How do we get it?
Of course. Now, when I was in college, one of my roommates was majoring in our school's agricultural program. One summer, he got a paid internship doing biology and agricultural stuff related to his major, and we didn't see him too often during the week. So when he was home, we would just stay in his room by himself. So every time the weekend would roll around, we'd ask him if he wanted to go out to a show or grab beers for happy hour, or inevitably he'd look at us like he was dead on the inside and just say, no, I've got stuff to do here. And after a few weeks of this, we began to seriously worry about him. It was a total 180 from the guy we were used to.
Huh.
So one Friday night, I asked him if he wanted to grab happy hour beers and received the usual answer, a dejected and forlorn no. So I asked him if he was doing okay, and now all of his friends, we missed him.
Yeah.
And he replied, I want to go out, but I just can't spend any money. My job with the university is in the AG building. I spend 8 hours a day collecting pig semen. And any time I think about going or buying anything, I convert the price into the amount of pigs I'd have to jerk off to afford it. So a round of drinks is roughly me jerking off two pigs.
Oh, come on.
So apparently, listen to this. Apparently, they have a wooden table-like mount with a pig-shaped pocket pussy.
Oh, my God.
For lack of a better word. And he had to manually stimulate the pig until it got hard. And then have the boar mount the fuck toy and guide its dick into place.
What?
The pig would do its
what
thing
kind of
and then he'd have to
this?
Collect, I don't know. But then he'd have to collect the cum for storage. And then he said that's how he found out that not only pigs pigs have corkscrew tails, but also corkscrew dicks when they are flaccid.
Oh my God, that is so fucking gross.
Isn't that fucking
honestly,
awful?
We didn't need beer in college compared to this guy. This is the one guy who should just be at the bar immediately. Clock out of school, go right to the bar.
He couldn't unplug.
Come too much.
He couldn't unplug, man.
Oh,
he wanted to, dude.
Poor guy.
Poor guy.
One round, two shots of pig cum.
Yeah. Here, I got this one interesting story that's about the idea of did Mary fuck? Ooh. I have a minor in religious studies, so I wanted to quickly explain the line of thought behind if the Virgin Mary stayed a virgin. There are three schools of thought. One is the hard Catholic line that she was a virgin for her entire life. That's why she was able to ascend to heaven rather than go through the hassle of needing to die. Second is the Catholic light line, that she was a virgin for Jesus, but then she got the dick after he was born. Sure,
okay.
People quote that the passage you mentioned about Jesus having brothers here, though the hard Catholic line is that those were just the apostles. Sure, whatever.
Okay.
And lastly, here's the everything in allegory line. These are sane, irrational humans who don't believe Mary was ever a virgin. Some people say that the virgin or quote-unquote maiden there are just to denote age rather than purity. Some say that it just makes a better story. So,
okay, there you go.
That's very interesting.
The Bible had some very strict editors as well, and they want a good story if they're going to sell this thing for all time.
Well, especially around 4 centuries after Jesus died, and then they reorganized all of the various books that was going to go in and censored it and restructured it and made it to whatever it is.
The King James.
Almost as if like it is a completely made-up document that is a fictional story.
Huh? All right, that's your opinion.
Right? It is.
Yes, indeed.
Here we go. This is a fun story. This is a good ghost story that we'll end with.
Ooh.
My family moved into a new house on the other side of my hometown a little over 15 years ago, and it took very little time for us to realize the house was haunted.
Ooh, cool. I love a good haunting house.
It started with the small things that are easy to write off, mostly shadows moving in the corners of your eyes. Which, given we've always had cats over the years, and so that's be expected, until we started seeing distinctly person-shaped shadows lurking in the doorways. There came instances of items being moved, and I don't mean just being slightly nudged or thinking a glass wasn't quite in the same position as you left it. I mean, when I was 13, I was up late one night on my laptop, and a bottle of lotion was knocked clean across the room. Masturbating.
Could be a masturbating ghost. Oh my God.
I was scared and I ran up downstairs and I slept on the couch that night. We've also had weird issues with radios and phones. My mother's radio will randomly turn itself on and off, and also has been known to suddenly turn the volume up to maximum for about 20 seconds and then turn itself back down again. You can't get a decent phone signal anywhere in the house. And even now when I call my parents, I often have to call them back 2 or 3 times due to the connection dropping. And the absolute cherry on the cake, however, which we say cherry on the sundae, however, was one night I'd gone downstairs after my parents went to bed to get a drink and a snack. I made myself a sandwich, turn away to get my drink, and when I looked back, there was a bite gone out of the sandwich.
Whoa.
I stood there racking my brain, trying to convince myself I had taken a bite, even though I had known I hadn't. And the size of the bite was far too small for my mouth.
Whoa.
All right? And then I became aware that there was something on the stairs. At first, I thought it was just one of my cats, as they usually like to sit halfway up the stairs and watch us in the kitchen so they could beg for some food. I looked over, a little freaked out, more than ready for some fluffy cat cuddles, only to see a little girl sitting there instead.
Oh my
now, I'm not
God.
Good with ages at the best of times, but I'd say that she was about 8 years old.
Oh, my.
She had long, dark hair and is wearing what looked like an old-fashioned nightgown. I stared in disbelieving horror for a few moments until she vanished. That was the only time I ever actually saw the ghost that haunts my parents' house. And after that night, the ghostly activity slowly started to ease up, although issues like the phone lines persisted. And even now, occasionally, an item that is definitely not on the verge of falling comes tumbling off a shelf. And I was a teenage girl during the height of these events, and after hearing these poltergeist stories, I've always wondered if our ghost was something similar. Although apart from being freaked out a few times, I never felt any real danger from her.
Keep on giving. Keep the sandwiches coming. I guess.
Keep the
maybe
sandwiches
she
coming,
sandwiches.
Man. She's got to eat food, dog.
I guess. Do you see it? I wonder what happens when a ghost eats a sandwich. If you see it, or if once the ghost eats it, then it's gone. I don't know. All right.
These are for the ages, Kissel. These
I
questions.
Know. Our
these
farts
temptations.
Ghosts. I mean,
our farts ghosts. Listen.
We have a lot.
Come on, guys. We have a documentary that Kissel and I apparently are a large part of. It's on Tubi.
Yeah.
It's called Fresh Meats. You should check it out. It's about Jeffrey Dahmer.
Fresh
and cannibalism in general. So
I was surprised, to be honest, with the title. I didn't know they were going to call it Fresh
Meat.
Me too.
Well, it's also because I wasn't allowed to do any, every time I did a character or anything, they were like, please, will you just keep some of the humor to a minimum? And I was like, why am I here? Why did you ask me here? But honestly, but otherwise, they were awesome. And
they were super sweet. Of course.
We got to flex our knowledge muscles, but little light on the comedy, more so.
Little light on the comedy. But yes, that, and then check out, we do, we blab about all the monsters you love on Shudder as well. So check that out, and thanks so much for supporting us.
Yeah, Behind the Monsters, man. It's pretty sweet. Just make sure you love every day, knowing for a fact you didn't get spatchcocked by a fucking short Polish man. Right? Because then you can laugh knowing that you're whole and you need your spine to get around because you're a goddamn man or a woman and you need to get out there every day and you got to go to fucking work. You got to get out there. You got to hustle to make that bustle. You got to grind it out, dude. Wake and grind. Rise and grind every day until you're dead. And then you're just going to love, laugh. You're going to have to live knowing for a fact that we now are all going to work every day until the day we fucking die.
Well, this is kind of sad, the way you're doing this one.
We can't escape it. And we just have to keep working and
grinding. It's called retirement.
I don't think that exists anymore.
My parents retired.
We're going to live to 130 years old. We're going to need a fifth job. We need a fifth career.
Well, that's kind of ended it there a little strange. But nonetheless, thank you all so much for supporting
the show. Or
quit
your job, man. Quit your job. Make your own shit. Honestly, that would be cool as fuck right now. People are dropping left and right like, fuck this shit.
Oh, my goodness. You never know. You never know. You never know when your number is going to be called. But anyway, thank you all so much for supporting us. And thanks for sending the screenshots, being like, hey, random Ben, random Henry. That stuff is really nice because we're not so far up our own asses. So I have no idea what I do. I don't know until people tell me, they're like, you did that. I'd be like, oh, that's right.
Oh, okay, cool. Thank you. Yeah, fuck awesome. It helps us, honestly. It helps us
so,
remember.
So thank you all so much for the nice responses. And okay, everyone, thanks for listening. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Congratulations.
See you this week, fuckers.
Can't wait. Portland and Eugene. I can't wait.
Eugene, it's going to be fun.
I can't wait.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors. You can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.